Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. How can you prevent your cloud computing experience from turning into a stormy experience? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 22nd, 2013. Glad to have you back. We are on day two of our business article, Using the Cloud Safely. You can find it on pages 32 and 33 in your Advanced magazine. And I said, glad to have you back. If you're just joining us today and missed the first day, glad you're here also. I'm also glad that my panelists have returned for day two of this article, and they are Ellen Lee, Campbell Chong, and Lois Fisk. Hello, panelists.
Hello, Bill.
Great to have you back, and this is really a timely and relevant topic because all of us are using the cloud in some form, since we're all on the internet, using social networks, sending a lot of stuff, storing things. So, and I think it's relevant for all of our listeners. So before we get into our reading for today, let me get a maybe one quick review point from each one of our panelists. First, Ellen.
Hi, Bill. I think one very important point from yesterday was kind of one of the vocabulary words, which was breach, which is a breach in security. It's kind of the overall theme of this entire article, which is talking about security and whether or not the information is vulnerable to being attacked.
Okay. Now, we see here the definition being breach, an act of breaking a rule, law, customer practice. But actually, a breach will often mean like a weak spot in a wall. So if you can imagine like a fortress, but there's one place where like the enemy has kept bombing away to try and make a crack in the wall, that would be considered a breach.
Right, exactly. And that's a very good illustration of what hackers do.
Okay.
They'll kind of just pinpoint one
spot. All right. Campbell.
Well, I think this whole concept of cloud computing is really interesting. I remember actually learning about it in one of our advanced articles many years back. And the first time I heard about it, I was just like, well, what is this? You know, but now it's a part of my everyday life. Mm-hmm. We do this all the time. And it does make things a lot easier and accessing my information, my documents, a lot more convenient. Unfortunately, that also makes it a lot more convenient for other people to access it and poses some security risks.
Yeah. All right. So it is helpful, but also there is, you know, there are some dangers that we need to be aware of. Lois.
Hi, Bill. It's great to be back. And I think for me, I like how this article pointed out the pros and cons so that you can make your own decision whether you're going to use this type of technology, what you're going to put in your cloud if you so choose to. Mm-hmm. And just making you aware that, as Campbell has just said, you know, it can be out there for everybody to access. So I think for me, it would be more using it for pictures, videos like you do yourself, and maybe some information that, you know, I'm thinking of all my extended family needs to know, and then I can tell them they can link into this.
Yeah. I mentioned videos. I have found it helpful. And this is a fairly specific usage in that I have certain videos I might take. I'll use my digital camera, and I might take a video for a couple of minutes. I don't necessarily want to put it on YouTube. And it's really only meant for a few people, and the few people that I am intending it for are not signed up on YouTube, so I can't identify them as having access, but I can't email it because the file is so large. So I can put the video on Dropbox, leave it there for a week, and let them access it, and then I just get rid of it. So and that's just one usage, but I have found the cloud helpful for storing, yes, large pieces of data, not just video, maybe PowerPoints or other presentations that we've got to do. I find it on a temporary basis. It's very helpful on a temporary basis.
Sure.
I try to go through and clear out my Dropbox folders occasionally, and I would recommend that you do that also. Go back and clear things out if you are not using them anymore. Don't just leave them sit there. Okay, let's take a look at our reading for today. It's on page 33, and we'll break it down into two sections. We'll just have each column. So first, we'll have the left column. Those companies weren't alone. Of nearly 500 information technology professionals Intel recently surveyed, 46% said their firms had suffered a security breach, meaning their data was lost or accessed by unauthorized means. And most of the victims said they were experiencing more breaches than when they had kept the data on their own networks. Claiming responsibility. Some information placed in the cloud can get into the wrong hands because of equipment mishaps or employee foul-ups. But hackers are among the biggest concerns, and many businesses mistakenly assume their cloud providers will keep the crooks at bay, said J.D. Sherry of the security firm Trend Micro. While offering some protections, he said, the providers often leave security largely to their customers. That burden of responsibility typically falls upon the customer, and that often can be a huge challenge for a lot of folks, he said. Amazon provides a wide array of security measures for its cloud services, according to a company statement, but it said a customer of those services assumes responsibility and management of the guest operating system, including updates and security patches, other associated application software, as well as the configuration of the Amazon-provided security group firewall. Okay, yesterday we finished with a couple of surveys and statistics Symantec, technology security company, internet security company, had queried over 3,000 businesses. 43% of them said they had lost data in the cloud, although it did not define how much of it was due to cyber attacks. So we're talking about companies, how many people have lost information, and that's where we pick up today. Right, Campbell?
That's right. It says that those companies that Symantec queried were not alone. There is another study done by Intel, which is another technology company, and they talked to 500 information technology professionals, and they said 46% had their firms suffering a security breach.
That number is amazingly close to the Symantec number.
It's very high to me.
Yeah, 43% yesterday in Symantec's survey, 46% in this Intel survey. And these firms said they had a security breach. You think that's high?
I think that's high.
That's almost half.
Yeah.
It is high.
I guess I shouldn't say think. It is high.
Yeah. Well, I think the 46% is even more unnerving because it is information technology professional firms, which means they are in the technology.
Mm. That's a very good point. You said unnerving. Unnerving, Alan. What's that mean?
Unnerving just we use it to say something makes us uncomfortable.
Makes you nervous.
Making me nervous.
It's disconcerting, might be a synonym of that. And you make a very good point that these are information technology professionals. These are not just my mom and dad on Facebook,
who don't
really know much about the internet. These are people that know stuff.
Yeah. And here we do specify that it's not because of some mistake. It's actually data being lost or accessed by unauthorized means. So here we are talking about a security breach where someone actually gets into the computer, steals data, or uses data that is not for them to be using.
Yeah. And this is something where there are people, hackers, other people trying to get this information. That's their full-time job. They are sitting at a computer every day for many, many hours, and that is their full-time job. And, if there's anything that your full-time job, you're going to get good at it.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you devote enough time to
yes,
something,
that's right.
You'll get good at it. And we continue here with this next sentence that begins in a line, right there at the end of line 5 about most of the victims.
Right, Bill. It says, and most of the victims said they were experiencing more breaches than when they had kept the data on their own networks. Hmm. And when we say a breach, we mean an act of breaking a law, promise, agreement, or relationship.
Okay, we're talking about, again, losing more information. And it's interesting that they had more losses when they were using the cloud instead of having the data on their own network.
Right. And I think this is especially harmful for tech companies because, I mean, we're in this information technology world right now. So any kind of information that gets leaked or transferred can be very detrimental to a company such as this.
Right. And they could lose a competitive edge, all sorts of problems for
right.
them. Now, claiming responsibility is our next section. How does it start, Ellen?
Well, it starts by saying some information placed in the cloud can get into the wrong hands because of maybe equipment mishaps or employee foul-ups.
Okay.
And equipment mishaps just means equipment breaking down or
Yeah, issues. I had mentioned yesterday there might be a power outage. That's just one thing. The power's out. But actually, equipment fails.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And you kind of question, too, are they maintaining their equipment as well, Bill? When I see these high percentages here, it does raise some questions about that.
Well, businesses are just like any – whether it's a household or any, you know, anybody's on a budget.
Yeah.
And yeah, we all want the latest and greatest updates and new equipment, but there are limitations. And we might have to put off, if I'm an IT director at a company, and I want the newest server, but I have to wait a year because we just don't have the money for it. And so, yeah, the stuff I've got is getting worn out.
Yeah.
And it's not working right. And maybe the air conditioning goes off one day, and then I got a problem. So and that would be considered an equipment foul-up, but we see here also employee foul-ups. Do employees ever make mistakes?
Well, not me. I never make any mistakes.
You're asking the wrong person. He's perfect.
All right, I'll ask the right person. Do you ever make any mistakes, Lois?
Too many. Thanks, Bill. Too many. Who have you been talking to? Have you been talking to my kids? Follow up means a big or stupid mistake. Thank you there, Bill. That upsets people.
You're welcome. All right, everybody, let's eliminate the foul-ups. Well, not eliminate. We will never completely eliminate foul-ups. Well, let's minimize them. But what is the biggest concern?
Well, the biggest concern is hackers. And many businesses assume that these cloud providers are providing security, where actually it's not true.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So, yeah, that's right. We just sign up for things. As an individual, we sign up. We think, oh, well, it must be good. Must be professional. It's set up, right? Everybody's using it.
That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not – I mean, I'm sure if you actually – I'm sure most of us don't actually read the customer agreement. But if you actually read it, I'm sure you would see that they don't assume any kind of responsibility for security.
Yeah, that assumption there, we see there's kind of a funny statement in line 16, the assumption their cloud providers will do what?
Well, it says keep the crooks at bay, but I think it's better to explain it keep the crooks away. You don't want the crooks touching or these people that are doing illegal activity and hacking into your accounts. Mm-hmm. You don't want them there.
Yeah. All right. So there's that assumption. This comes from this statement comes from J.D. Sherry, and this person works for the security firm, another internet security firm that people often will use the software to prevent internet problems. That is Trend Micro. And now J.D. Sherry continues in the next line.
Well, he says, while offering some protections, the providers actually leave the majority or most of the security to their customers, so the users.
That goes back to what Campbell was talking about, that long terms of condition form that nobody ever reads. We just check off the box, sign, and agree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
oh, yeah.
ever reads it. Nobody.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. But do the customers really know this? It's kind of like when you get a warranty and you don't really know anything about your warranty.
I would say 99% of the customers don't know that.
Yeah,
because we're usually in a rush.
Yeah.
Right.
Just sign me up. Get me on here. I need to use this thing right now. What is this? Okay, check off the box.
Agree.
Agree. Yeah, that's right. So, and so he talks about that burden of responsibility, and, you know, he continues by saying it typically falls upon the customer. And it is a challenge to a lot of folks.
Yeah, it says it can often be a huge challenge for a lot of folks. And I think just even for myself, because I mean, beyond using a password and maybe learning how to choose a good password, I have no idea how I can make my information more secure.
Right. Well, and the thing is that when you think about your list of priorities, where does worrying about the security of Dropbox fall on your list?
Very low.
You've got children. You got a daughter. You've got a job. You've got all sorts of, you know, that's probably down about 329 on your list of priorities, worrying about Dropbox's security.
Exactly.
So, all right. Now, one company that is a huge cloud computing provider is Amazon, up there near the top of the ranking. So they do provide a wide array of security measures, or wide array of variety for its cloud services, and that's according to their statement. But it said what, Ellen?
But it said a customer of these services assumes responsibility and management of the guest operating system, which just means updating it, and sometimes companies will issue security patches. Mm-hmm. So maybe they've found kind of breaches in their security, and they're trying to reinforce the wall, so to speak.
Okay. All right. The key there is that the customer assumes responsibility of all of this and other associated application software, as well as what?
It says as well as the configuration of the Amazon-provided security group firewall. And configuration here means the particular arrangement of the parts of something or of a group of something.
Yeah. Now, Campbell, what I want you to do is just that bottom section there. That's a lot of words in there. And this is the kind of stuff everybody skips over and just clicks on agree. But tell me what that bottom part means.
Basically, it means that Amazon does provide security for their cloud services. But it's up to the people using the Amazon services to maintain that security and to keep it up to date and to keep it fresh, you know, and just that they continue to have the most up-to-date security software on their computers and as they're using it to keep it safe.
Yeah. Now, I see in there options that we have, a couple of different options. One is that Amazon probably will send out notices saying, oh, a new update is available for this particular, you know, thing. And then you have the option of choosing. So you're using their cloud services. You have the option then of choosing, okay, do I take this update? Do I take this patch? A lot of times it's somewhat automatic, but people don't let it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's
happen.
Right. Or we keep hitting the button, remind
delay.
Me later.
Yeah. Right.
I'm a bad one for that.
Right. And so we take the risk of putting it off, delaying it. So that's one choice. Then there's another choice in here. There's actually a list of choices. For instance, the group security, the firewall in there. And there are different levels of strength that you can choose with your firewall as far as preventing who has access to your information and blocking things out. And then again, you are the one that makes the choice on here. You're the one that makes the decisions. Okay, what level of security do I have on this? So this is what this Amazon, this whole paragraph is saying is here. They've got stuff available, but again, it's up to you to make the right choices. And let's get into our final reading of this article. Planning for the inevitable. According to Eve Mahler, a Forrester Research Principal Analyst, even a social media site break-in can cause havoc. The bad guys might see direct messages containing personal information meant for the company, or could send out messages that harm the company's brand or business, she said. Breaches of corporate financial data and trade secrets could be far more serious, and cloud-based companies will have to become quicker at responding to cyber attacks,
said Art Gilliland, General Manager of Enterprise Security Products at Hewlett-Packard. Even so, he predicted more companies will be victimized as they shift their data into the ether. It's going to happen, he said. It's inevitable.
Bill Quinn, Ellen Lee, and Campbell Chung, and Lois Fisk, we are wrapping up our Using the Cloud Safely article, and we are on page 33, our last reading, the right column, planning for the inevitable. What does inevitable mean?
It means it is going to happen. You can't stop it from happening. It's happening. It's coming your way.
Okay. So it's a good word for all of our listeners to know. Inevitable. So
they're kind of like taxes, you know, Bill? It's inevitable.
Yeah,
it's coming.
Can't get away from it. So, well, according to Eve Mailer, a Forrester Research Principal Analyst, even a social media site break-in can cause havoc. So we've been talking about corporate users, even individual users, as far as having problems with some cloud computing security. But now we're reading about social media. And what does that mean, cause havoc?
Well, havoc just means kind of chaos or just a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. So there's no order to whatever is happening.
Okay. So even maybe Facebook, some other firms might be using some cloud computing?
Yeah, we think, you know, social media is innocuous. We think that it's not a big deal. You put photos and things on there. But if people do access these things, it can be dangerous.
You said the word innocuous. I-N-N-O-C. U-O-U-S, innocuous. That's
means,
a good one.
It just means that, you know, we think that it's very innocent. It's not a big deal. It's just very, you know, just run-of-the-mill day-to-day mm-hmm. thing. It's not a huge thing, but it can
right.
be dangerous.
You know, Campbell, that's actually a really good word because a lot of young kids, young adults, teenagers will think, oh, this is innocuous. I'm going to put a crazy photograph
yes.
of, you know, me on spring break on Facebook. And they think it's innocuous, but...
Exactly. Some 12-year-old girls have done that, Bill, and it's a huge mistake. It's available to everybody.
Well, right, whether it's 12-year-old girls or maybe a young college graduate is looking for a job and there's a picture of them, like, going crazy mm-hmm. at some party somewhere and the company they're interviewing with, you know, sees it. So it's not innocuous. So great word, Campbell. Now, getting back here to Eve Mailer, what does Eve say there in line 11?
Well, she says the bad guys might see direct messages containing personal information meant for the company or could send out messages that harm the company's brand or business.
All right. So are there any messages that you've sent on Facebook that you wouldn't want anybody to see?
Or that you put down and went, what did I do that for?
Well,
guilty.
I'm always very, very careful what I put on Facebook because, you know, Doris is on there. So, you know, you got to be careful what Doris sees.
Well, I mean, I'm saying, okay, but what about messages?
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, like anything you put out there is for anybody can see it. So you want to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I'm saying the individual messages. Say if you go on Facebook, this is what this paragraph is actually talking about too. If I type up a specific message to Ellen, right? Then actually, hackers actually can access all of that stuff,
sure.
too. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, and Ellen could share it. You know, she'd be like, you know, I don't like what Bill said. Let me forward this.
Right. Yeah. But this can actually happen for companies even. They can actually damage their brand or business. And that's what Eve Mailer says. So now we get back again to this breaches. That breaches is throughout this article. Breaches of corporate financial data and trade secrets could be far more serious. So it's one thing for me to send a message to Ellen saying, well, Campbell Chung is that guy's like really dumb. But it's another thing for me to send Ellen a message saying, oh, here's our pricing for next quarter. So what all of this means is that we have to be a little bit more careful and these companies need to become more careful, right, Campbell?
Yeah, it says cloud-based companies will have to become quicker at responding to cyber attacks. Now, by cloud-based companies, it's unclear whether they're talking about companies that use these cloud-based services or the service providers themselves. But either way, both sides need to be quicker at taking care of these cyber attacks.
Right. That comes from Art Gilliland, General Manager of Enterprise Security Products at Hewlett-Packard. And even so,
He predicted what?
He predicted more companies will be victimized as they shift their data into the ether.
Yeah, now victimized.
Victimized. They're kind of vulnerable out there. They are a victim, and something's going to happen to them.
Yeah, okay. If you've been damaged, somebody takes advantage of you or takes something from you, you are a victim. And the verb, what happened is you have been victimized. You're talking about this term. We say the ether there. That just is another term for the cloud, meaning out there, somewhere out there.
Over the rainbow.
Your data is being taken. Well, how does Art Gilliland finish our reading?
Well, he just says it's going to happen. It is inevitable.
Well, inevitable. Yes, it's just like anything. If you've got a computer at home, if you use one at work, the internet, it's inevitable that you will run into a virus. You might run into somebody getting access to your email. And it just, if you use it long enough, it is inevitable. So we all need to be very careful. At the top of page 33, we do have a sidebar called By the Numbers. And tell me about that, Campbell.
Well, the sidebar pretty much just reviews some of the facts and figures that we have been talking about over the past 2 days. So we see right away that almost a quarter of all business information globally is now in the cloud, which is a huge number. And also the fact that over the past few years, the number of subscribers have doubled.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of growth as far as the users, and it will continue that way. The revenue is growing, and the surprising thing is that number of people that have had breaches, almost half of the people. Now, one thing that is notable here that we had not covered before is that last paragraph in the sidebar, right, Ellen?
Right. And it was a survey. It talks about a survey that was conducted by Coupon Codes for You, which is an online site that provides coupons. And only 31% of these consumers or adults felt safe putting their information onto these cloud providers.
Okay, let's flip that around. 70% didn't feel safe.
Right, exactly.
We're not even up to a third.
The overwhelming majority didn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. So, well, I hope this article has been helpful for you listeners. It's been helpful for all of us and makes us maybe a little bit more cautious and a little bit more careful with how we do things on the internet and the information that we are going to store. Thanks for being here with us the past 2 days. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Ellen.
Campbell.
And Lois.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.